Just for a second, why not turn to someone around you that you don't know, ask them their name, say hello, ask them how their week has been. Right, well, it looks like you're all getting to know each other rather well. That's a good start, especially because of what we're talking about today. This is the second, shall we say, episode in our series on culture. And one of the big aims that Nico had when he was coming up with this series, if I can speak on his behalf, I know he's here somewhere, was that trying to change the entire culture of our church and taking a big picture look at what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be community together, what it means to be a worshipping community, all loving God, regardless of age, regardless of level of faith, that we're all one community and all one culture. So I want to start by reading you one of the passages that was set against tonight, and then I'm going to start to unpack it a little bit and share some of my short thoughts about what it's like to be a welcome community. So the passage is Matthew 5. It's verses 43 to 48. I think I have the last couple of verses on the screen. If you want to look it up, either on your blue Bibles or on your phone. So I'm going to read the first couple of verses and then you'll be able to see where we follow on. So verse 43 of Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, a nice easy challenge there from Jesus. Who is feeling perfect today? A couple of young people who are being brave. It's not something we can easily achieve. And as I was starting to think about this idea of what welcoming looks like, there's so many areas I could look at. I started with church. And I thought, okay, how do people get welcomed into this building when they come to a service at church on a Sunday? There are many, many good ways that we could do that. And there are also some bad ways. Now, I want to show you a little video. I apologize, it's American. But this is an example of what welcoming people to church probably shouldn't look like. Have a watch.
Let me get pulled up there. Oh, God, how much that fish weigh? Man, that's a 600-pound grouper.
Look at that.
Now, look at the mouth of a grouper, Sam. Watch his face. Watch his face, Ray. Watch. Look at it. Whoa.
Dude. Whoa. Can you see that? Where to go? I need to go.
Hello, excuse me. Put that.
All right. Send it to
you. Good morning.
I've never been here before. I don't know where to take my kids.
Oh, welcome. Agape.
Welcome. Agape Church.
Where we love people. What can we help you with?
I need to know where to take my baby, first of all. I'm not sure if I want to leave her there.
She is. Why? Oh, she's got kids. Kids.
I'm not doing it.
Yes, you are. Will you take your baby?
Yes, you are.
I told you the last lady from Cabot.
No.
She had 14 kids and I took her to church. You're going to take this kid. Just a minute. Oh, this burned my face. Woo! This
is hot. Let me have your baby.
Give him a baby.
Okay.
Give him a baby.
There you go.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I'm away.
That baby stinks. That baby stinks. You need. That baby stinks.
You owe me.
You go to the nursery.
You owe me.
Go. Get out of my peripheral. I don't want to see that baby. Lady, go with him. Go with him.
I think I should.
Oh, baby, you are cute, but you are, you are toxic today. Could you please ring that bell, please? Thank you.
Excuse me. Please ring that bell violently, because we didn't get you hear that, all that noise in there?
There you go, a little louder.
Oh.
Oh, y'all waking up the baby?
Ring that
No, that's the lame cat.
So, quite a few issues there. One of the first things I noticed from that video was our welcome to others should be personal. And it shouldn't just be about greeting people at the door, especially when we don't know them. My dream for any church, any place I go, is if I'm there for the first time, for someone to say hi, to say hello, to almost drop everything they're doing and spot a new person and go, well, you look out of place here. You look lost. You don't know where you're going. Why don't you come with me? Come with me. Let me introduce you to people. Let me sit with you. Let me metaphorically hold your hand through what's happening tonight. Our welcome should be a journey, something that goes on and on, regardless of age or who someone is when they walk through the door. Now, first impressions really matter. I've spent this weekend on a stag do. I'm at that age in my life where everyone I know is getting married. And that means every time there is a stag do where all the guys go away, sometimes for a weekend, the tamer ones are just for a nice evening meal somewhere, but this was a weekend for a friend of mine, Josh. Now, I met Josh because his girlfriend, now fiance, was one of the young people at my old church. And Josh used to come down to visit and he used to play in the band with me. So I know him well. But he lived somewhere north of London, Dunstable. So that meant I don't know any of his friends. So I faced the prospect on Friday evening of driving for over 3 hours in Friday afternoon traffic to the border of Wales to a campsite to meet a load of people that I'd never met and spend the weekend with them. Now, I might seem like a confident person, but I'm actually an introvert, which means I get my energy from chill places, quiet places, walking outside in nature, spending a bit of quiet time by myself, not with 20 other guys in a field. So the prospect wasn't exciting me too much. On my talk here it says, left blank to talk about their welcome. I arrived and I was actually early, which is rare for me, and I was able to get a fire started because I'm a man. Sorry, I was a scout. I was a scout, so I know how to light fires. And I was able to start setting things up ready to welcome, not something I was planning to do, but it meant that when the organizer arrived about 10 minutes after me, that there was a fire going and he could unload his stuff. But what was important to me was how I was accepted into that group of people. And it was interesting to see how some people were like trying to suss me out. Who is this guy? How does he know Josh? What's his relation? Is he going to be a nice guy? Is he going to be someone I want to get along with? The wedding's in 2 weeks' time. Do I want to see him again then? But what I saw was people slowly asking, hi, who are you? What do you do? Easy, simple questions and trying to get to know me. Welcome goes quite a lot beyond just church, though, or just first greetings. It applies to our friendships. The passage that we read talked about not just loving people who love us. Jesus goes as far as saying we should love our enemies. Does anyone have an enemy? Anyone brave enough to put their hand up to say if they've got an enemy? No. It's not a really commonly used term, is it? You might have someone you're not too keen on. Put your hand up if you've got someone you're not too keen on. There we go. That's the Surrey way of saying enemy. That's what Jesus would have said. It's not just those who love you. Jesus calls us to love people who don't love us. That doesn't mean the people who are firing arrows at our front door when we get up in the morning. It means people who might not necessarily know us. People who don't talk to us. People who don't go out of their way to be our friends. Jesus says we should love them too. Not just the people we know. A key thing that Jesus picks up when he talks about loving others is people in need. One great thing we do as a community is equip and help others in need. And showing hospitality to strangers, people we don't know, obviously in a safe way. One thing we've done here, and we have the joy of as a church, is to support or to be part of a team who've welcomed a family from Syria, a group of refugees, which when I arrived here, I thought, wow, like what an amazing community to be able to work with others to bring someone from a different country who has no home and allow them, not just allow them, but encourage them and be alongside them as they make their home in a community. But although that's great and it's a fantastic piece of work, God calls us to more. And we shouldn't be complacent with going, you know what, they've done that. They've done the welcome. They've done the good thing. I've cheered them on. I've supported something financially. I've always been a fan of the fact that love isn't just warm and fuzzy feelings. I know this, I'm married. Sorry, Sarah. Love is more than that. It's about giving. It's about sacrifice. Actually, when you love someone, you want them to be the best they can be. So when Jesus says, love your enemies, love the people you're not too keen on, he means love them in a way that gets them to a place where they are the best that they can be. That's your friend at school who isn't very nice. That's the boss at work who is sometimes a bit of a jerk. That's the person you bump into on a street who's, you know, a little bit rude. The person who gets on the train carriage before you've got off. All those people, Jesus tells us that we should want them to be the best that they can be. So why do we welcome? The other part of this passage is from Hebrews, which says this. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Every time I read this passage, it kind of sends some shivers down my spine. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. One important thing is in all our little interactions we have, whether we're welcoming someone into a building, whether we're welcoming someone onto a train, whether we're just being a welcoming human being in our school or office or home, we don't know the journey that someone else has been through. We don't know why someone walks through those doors on a Sunday, where they're at, what they're feeling, the week they've had. So the way we welcome someone can then have a huge impact, not just on how that person feels, but on how that person sees God. Because you know what? The world helps other people in order to do good. Because it's a good thing to be nice to other people, right? Right? Yes? It's a good thing to be nice and welcoming to other people. And it's not just reserved for Christians. Everyone does it. Everyone should do it. But everyone else does it because it's a good thing to do. As Christians, we should love others in order to be God to them. Jesus says in John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We don't love others to do good. We love others to be God in every and any situation. But what if you're the one who's not being welcomed? Because you might be here tonight going, you know what, that's fine, Sean. I'm a nice person. I go out my way to be nice to others. But you know what? In some situations, I don't always feel accepted. I don't feel welcomed myself. And you know what? The best way to describe sometimes what it's like to welcome is to look at how not to welcome. Perhaps you're one of the 18% of people who have been bullied in the workplace. Or one of the 22% of 12 to 20-year-olds who have been bullied at school or university. NSPCC define bullying as whenever someone is undermined, excluded from a group, a friendship group, an activity, a WhatsApp group. Whenever someone is talked about behind their back, or a group chat is set up about them behind their back. When someone else is threatened, when you create things in order to embarrass other people or post things online. If you've rated someone or shared your opinion about someone to make them feel bad. Or maybe if you're an Instagram user, you've done that little heart slider to say how much you like someone sometimes. I've seen that on stories. Maybe you're an internet troll. Maybe you're not, but maybe you've come across them. Bullying is defined as, you know, when someone's encouraged that they're not good enough. Maybe encouraged down the line of self-harm and not looking after themselves. All those things are the opposite of what Jesus calls us to do. And I don't share that lightly. I share it as a challenge because we all slip into ways of not being our best. We all slip into ways of not welcoming others, not loving others as Jesus says we should. Because none of us are perfect. Despite Jesus' call in that first part of the passage, be perfect, it's something we can only aspire to do. The very best we can do is try. Try to welcome others. Even when you are that person who doesn't feel welcomed yourself. Even when you feel that you don't fit in. God's call to us is the same. To be God in any situation we come across. Imagine if we all did that. In our community here on a Sunday night. Whatever you're doing tomorrow as you head towards workplace, school, just a busy day doing the garden, walk into the shops. Think about your attitude to others. I sound like my mother when I say that. Drop your attitude. But just think about how every other person, you could be being an ambassador for Jesus to that person. You could be the glimpse they get of God tomorrow. You, each and every one of you, could be God in a situation tomorrow. We don't love others to do good. We love others to be God. Can I invite you to close your eyes for a moment? And this is just a way of, no one's going to take your stuff. This is just a way of isolating yourself from other people, switching off some of the distractions, because I know some of you are sitting next to people who will distract you. But just shut your eyes for a second and just think about what you've heard. I'm not here to be a super talented preacher and a smooth talker. I'm not that. What I'm trying to do is encourage you to take a look at how we live our lives for God. And as the creative prayer team were encouraging us earlier, just take a moment to listen. Listen to what God might be trying to call to mind for you. Maybe you're one of those people who aren't feeling welcomed in a situation. Maybe you yourself aren't being very welcoming in a situation. And you know what? It's okay for God to convict us of that sometimes because it's just his way of saying, I see that and it's okay. I love you, I forgive you. But you know what? I'd love you to change. I'd love you to be God in these situations. Just stay in that attitude of listening. And if you can, whilst keeping your eyes closed, can I invite you to stand if you can? And just while everyone's got their eyes closed, if I can ask you to do a brave thing of just kind of saying to God that this is me, that if you're someone who'd like to be better at welcoming others while everyone else's eyes are shut, can you just throw your hand quickly up in the air and put it back down again? And again, whilst everyone's eyes are closed, if you're feeling not welcomed in a situation, could you again just throw your hand up in the air and put it back down again? Thank you for your honesty, because God sees that. God knows the situation you're in. As we start to worship, members of the prayer team are around. There's a couple of us down the front as well who'd love to pray for you if you want that. Or over in the back left-hand side, if you want to pray as well. But let's bring all this to God, who is our King, who is above everything, who knows our situations. Lord, thank you that you love us, whether we are not feeling welcomed, whether we're feeling lost and abandoned in some situations. Lord, thank you that you are there with us, that you know us and you love us. God, thank you for where we're getting it wrong and messing up day after day. Thank you, God, that you are with us and you love us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit so that we can be changed. Whether that's with your peace over a situation, or with your love and joy, that we can share that with others. Thank you, Lord. Amen.